previously on the Adventure Zone Dust.
Are you telling me that Flint Chittles sits on the board of Cash Universe?
This is my brother, Matthias. I murdered him in cold blood. Well, howdy there. Name's your house.
We're looking to be on the train 2 days from now.
How are we actually going to get in there?
The engine ain't warded. Probably the easiest way is to just try to walk in and make sure no one sees you.
I need work.
Be here, tomorrow morning? I got work for you.
Maison could use some muscle, but with a brain behind it.
You give me that job, and I don't get in trouble, I'll help you out.
So I'd like to talk to my buddy Micah. I'm just saying I have to jump off a moving train is what it's looking like. And if I could unfurl two big, beautiful, silky wings.
Are we in agreement that you owe me one?
I think I owe you two.
So I can add a crate, one big enough for one of you.
I think that would have to be you, Indrid.
Somebody familiar with acupuncture. Is it possible that you still have someone that serves in that capacity? Well,
absolutely.
Join us again for episode 3, Spa Day! Alan, you're stretched out on a comfortable spa bed at the Maison Nihon. Your acupuncturist has already kind of started going through and you know, making you comfortable and make sure that you, you know, felt safe, that you felt secure, all of these things. And she says, yes, is there anything specific you'd like me to focus on?
I have a lot of pain. And this is the only way I can actually function. If I go too long without this, I'm no good to anybody. So I just really need you to give me some relief.
I understand. Absolutely, Mr. Callan. It will be my pleasure. Any areas in particular?
Well, can you see the scars?
Yes, quite a few.
Yeah, that would be about it. That's the main thrust. The only place I have pain is from the base of my neck to the bottom of my feet.
Got it.
I never get headaches.
Okay. You relax, breathe deep. You know, you're going to feel a couple of punctures, as is the nature of the beast. And pretty soon, I think you are going to fade away to sleep. And if you need anything, my name is Isabella. You can just say the word. And she is not wrong. She comes around the front of the bed, brushes her red hair behind her ear. You feel a couple of punctures, and that's all it takes, and you are out like a light. As you all entered, Lorelei was waiting there for you, Lulu, and you two are talking now. And she says, yes, and Pearl just wanted me to let you know that since we had the extra people here, she is riding under a cover of darkness tonight for Stitchden to try to get there for, you know, support when we arrive, to let the workers know that we've moved forward the plan, so she should be there. So I wanted to make sure you knew about that. What all do you have planned? What's going to happen tomorrow morning?
Well, it seems that we have a man on the inside now, in Callan, and that also Eudora Lyne will be, keeping eyes and ears out for us. I believe that our fine flying friend, or no, he's no longer flying, I guess, will be handling the wards. I think the only thing left is a means of escape. Lori, what are you getting from this?
Oh, I'm just happy to help, and I of course love you and Pearl, and you asked for my help, and I'm happy to, and it's just the right thing to do.
You always know the right thing to do, don't you?
Well, I learned it from you two. You know, you're good friends and good people, and you've always been an inspiration to me.
Oh, Laura.
Now, we don't need to get all teary and everything. I mean, it's not like we're going off to war or something.
Well, that's just the thing, is things could get rough, and just in case something should happen to me, I gotta come clean about something. And I know this is not the best time, but you know how a couple seasons back, the family farm hit some hard times?
Yeah?
That was my doing.
What do you mean?
I mean, I put a curse on your farm because you were supplying livestock to a rival of my patron, you know, the one that got me the maison, and he said if I didn't do it, that this would all go away. I just couldn't do that to my parents, and so I made you sacrifice yours, and I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, you know, no hard feelings. It's okay.
No, it's not okay, Lori.
Well, I really appreciate you saying something, but it doesn't change anything between us. You know, business is business, and I understand how much you love the maison and your parents and such, and thank you for telling me. I'm sorry. There's so much going on. I'm having a hard time processing, I think.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Everything, and I understand. And
the exact wrong time to tell you. I'm so sorry. But when we're done with this job, I'd really like to make it up to you and Mama and Papa Horn. Please, I'll do whatever it takes, you know, and not it just business-wise. I mean, really make amends. And
you know. Well, I'd like that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lori. Whew. All right. Well, I'm going to go check in around the bar. And I sort of sweep away.
Well, I'll see you tomorrow on the child in the passenger section till we get to Stitchton if you need me, okay?
Yeah, thank you.
And when you head to the bar, Selena behind the bar says, "Oh, is there an Augustus with you?"
Oh, yes. Mr. Parsons is, I believe, in the vicinity. Who's asking?
Somebody, a messenger came by early today, said they heard he was staying here and left a note for him.
Oh, well, sure, I'll take that. Who was this courier?
I don't know, just somebody, you know, from the Express.
All right. I hold my hand up for a letter.
Yeah, hands it to you. It's addressed to Mr. Augustus Parsons.
All right, and I go to move to find our incorporeal friend.
You find him. He's watching the show. It's an early version of How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. So he's making notes. Saying like that. No, that wouldn't work. That would, no, it's whatever you want. It's just a fun.
You have to try at least a little bit harder than that.
What about long-term plans? Yeah, you find him watching the show.
Mr. Parsons, it seems a missive has come for you.
Shh. I hate this part. Oh, God, it's chilling, isn't it? Worst show I've ever seen in my life.
Well.
Sorry, I'll take any excuse to get out.
Well.
You want to join me outside?
Yes.
Begging your pardon. Excuse me. Excuse me. Begging your pardon. Excuse me.
Oh, sorry. No, fine. Yeah, it's fine. Oh, watch my drink. Oh, sorry. My drink.
I can't knock your drink over. I'm incorporated.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, she did, though. It's fine. Sorry. She knows, but she'll clean it up.
No problem.
Hey, ow, my foot.
Oh, sorry. Ow, sorry. My now I have to go to the bathroom.
Down in front.
What a rich fucking tapestry.
Oh, shit. My tablecloth's on fire.
I'm going to shoot into the ceiling like they do in all the movies. Bang, bang.
What was it that you needed?
Well,
I might be of service.
It seemed clearly we needed an intermission in that show, but other than that, there's a letter came for you.
You open the letter so that he can read it, because he is currently visible and audible. And it is from Kerf.
I will read it.
Dear Mr. Parsons. Dear Mr. Parsons, I heard that you were in town. So much is happening over the Augusta. And then it's marked out and says, Cash Universe. In quotation marks, I need direction. What do you want me to do? Please, if you have a moment free, I'll be at the church tonight. I'll see you there. I'll wait for you. Signed, Kerf Ridgerock. And then there's a P.S. scrawled across the bottom. A friend here heard you were traveling with Callan. If he's free, he'd love to see him.
Okay. Well. Lulu, I have to visit a compatriot of mine about a business matter, you understand.
Well, I certainly do.
You are, of course, welcome to join, or you can enjoy the rest of this here program. It is, I will warn you, atrocious.
Well, I'll make sure to give it to the director for the postmortem, then.
Right.
I'm a little flustered trying to make notes.
They thrive on feedback. One thing I always loved when I was treading the boards in my college days is when audience members would find me after the show to tell me about parts of it they thought could be improved.
Well, I will be certain to give you a dead businessman's opinion to all of the professional actors.
And I thank you very much for that. I'm sure they will appreciate it.
Callan, you come somewhat stumbling from the spa area. You had a deep sleep. It was only about 20, 30 minutes, but you are lightheaded. You feel no pain. You feel great. Maybe one of the best acupuncture sessions you've ever had.
And I come stumbling up to Augustus.
Just you come outside to catch, some fresh air, maybe clear your head a little bit. You're having a hard time, have you ever had that feeling when you wake up in a new place and you're like, wait, what, where's my, huh? What's going, it's that kind of feeling. You're still, clearing your head.
Okay. Hey, Ghost.
Well, hello, my friend. Don't you look relaxed? What have you been up to?
Just getting a little therapy.
Ah, yes. Is working her magic.
Isabella is extremely talented.
Gross. So I'll be heading on over to the church to meet with Mr. Ridgerock, an associate of mine, to discuss a business matter. You may... If you wish, join me. They asked for your presence specifically.
Who?
Mr. Ridrock. He was my a close compatriot when I was at the helm of the Augustus Parsons Cashew Company.
I don't know anybody named Ridgerock. He asked for me.
Travis, is there some connection that he would know about or that I would
know
about?
It was that there was someone there who said, hey, if you talk to him, if you talk to Augustus. There.
Yeah. I know nothing further. Apologies. There's someone there asking for you. I know you're an obstinate man, but if it could help the Cashew Company at all, I would appreciate the help.
Oh. Okay.
Give me a name to a face roll, Clinton.
4 and a 1. What do I add to it?
You add in this case, wild.
Well, that's a minus 1.
Oh boy. So yeah, 4. You don't know who would be asking for you.
But in his line of work, anybody that's asking about you, you're going to be curious about. So, yeah, I'll go with you.
Yeah. I'm going to say, normally you would be able to figure it out. This wouldn't be a hard one, but you still got some wicked brain fuzzies.
Yeah. Let's go.
Well, you gentlemen, ring me on the pocket telegraph if you need anything. I'm going to be checking up on this establishment and perhaps confer with your compatriot about the plans for tomorrow.
I'm just sitting there just gulping down cashews and I'm here too.
Well, Andrew, you went to bed early because you have to get to the warehouse by 5 o'clock.
Oh, that's
so
fair,
you're
that's
in fair. Bed a-dreaming, and we'll get to you in just a moment.
Wait, I want to end the scene.
Yes.
Okay.
Lulu.
Yes.
Promise me something. And I mean this with all sincerity.
I'll do my best.
When they begin, happy to keep his dinner warm, you must promise me that you will look away. I'm not sure we can recover from that particular number, from choreography to singing to staging to lighting to sound. It is a failure on every level that you may not be able to recover from. Promise me you'll look away, perhaps a visit to the facilities.
Well, sir, I give you my womanly word.
I tell you the same about coffee break, but I assume everyone will be dead by then.
And Juice, when your friend Matthew Broderick finds out about this, he's going to be so pissed.
I hate that fucking show so much.
I didn't pick it at random. I was like, what's a show that I also think Augustus would hate? And so any show titled How to Succeed at Business Without Really Trying, I was like, I think Augustus would hate
that
show.
You nailed it, because I fucking hate that show. Anyway, it sucks ass. It's neither here nor there, my feelings about
it. Perhaps the revival will do better.
We can hope. We can all hope, can't we? Maybe they'll rewrite all the songs and lyrics and music and come up with something better.
The two of you approach the church. You have been here many, many, many times, Augustus. You have made quite a few deals with the church. And this is also, where your daughter, Anna, is being cared for by Leader Green, first name Janet. You make your way in, and as you enter, this is the prime temple of the church in the Crescent Territories. And so it's done. It's not overly designed, right? It's a pretty clean lines, not a lot of fancy accents, but it's just its scale and scope. That alone is enough to make it seem ostentatious in the West, as everything's still being developed and most buildings, struggle to top 2 to 3 floors. Just the size and the ability to welcome a large congregation makes this building impressive all on its own. As you enter, you see Kerf sitting in one of the front benches, kind of looking around anxiously, and he sees you, and you see him relax visibly, and he waves to you over. Now, Callan, you enter. Your head is cleared at this point. The walk gave you a chance to do it. And you're pretty sure by this point you know who you're looking for. And sure enough, they're leaning against one of the back walls is a well-built, beautiful man with long, curly blonde hair. He's got a beard that you would say probably is about a month of growth. He wears it well. His eyes are so crystal blue as to almost be white. And he is staring directly at you. And you recognize Uriel.
Hey, boss.
I heard you were in town.
Side mission.
You didn't come see me.
Well, I don't really enjoy your company all that much, so I don't think that's that big a surprise.
I see. Well, I just want to let you know, I've been in touch with my wayward brother, and it seems it has been some time since you have followed through on any deliverables. And I got some names here whose time is running out, and we're going to need to make those swaps pretty soon, or that's going to be on your head. Do you understand? And I want to make it clear, because we've had this conversation before, this isn't a threat. This isn't me, like, trying to I'm just stating facts. That's what I do. There is facts. There is things that I cannot change that have already been put in motion. You understand this, yes?
Yeah. How many are getting close?
Three in the next 18 months. Okay?
Yeah, I understand. I can deliver on that. I may even have a chance on this little side mission.
Okay. Once again, this is not meant to be a pressure thing, but simply a statement of fact. You're the one who sought this job once you knew what was at stake, yes?
You made your point. I don't think you need to keep repeating it.
Excellent. Well, best of luck. And he turns and exits. Now you, Augustus, you sit down next to Kerf. Oh, sir, Mr. Parsons, I am glad you are here.
Well, Kerf, it is nice to see you. How are you? I assume better than I.
I am at a loss, Mr. Parsons. I don't know how much you know about the Cash Universe thing. What do you want?
Unfortunately, no longer concerns me, for I have joined the Incredible Unemployed. I, Augustus Parsons, am without a career. I am, if you'll pardon the expression, a bum. This is how I shall live out, or perhaps not live out, the rest of my days. I shall purchase a couch. I shall read Little Orphan Annie. And I shall exist. But my working days are behind me.
Mr. Parsons, if this is a joke, I'm not quite
Please
sure.
Please call me Gus.
No.
I love to lay around and listen to the phonograph.
Mr. Parsons, I am not alone in what I am about to tell you. I have been waiting for some kind of missive from you of how to handle this. Mr. Altizer is... he's giving more and more of the company away to people, and it's starting to worry many of us about our futures with the company, and we're kind of hoping you would know what to do.
Unfortunately, that is typical for the cutthroat world of business in which I have been bested for the last time. I no longer am concerned with the struggles of the working man, for I myself am relaxing.
And you hear a smaller voice behind you say,
"Well, Father, if you don't mind me saying so, I think that that is absolute bullshit."
Anacardium, you will watch your language when I am present, or rather not present, in the room.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's just that I have spoken with Mr. Ridrock many times, as well as Leader Green. And you turn and you see a 12-year-old girl. You can see some elements of her mother in there, but she is the spitting image of Augustus Parsons. It's just that I was told that my father, Augustus Parsons, was a titan of industry, and now I can see that those were all exaggerations, of course.
No, Augustus Parsons is a titan of industry, or perhaps was. I am Gus P., local layabout.
Oh, I see. So when you died, all of your drive and your ethics, which I heard, made you tower among the common man. All those must have died with you. Is that it?
No, Anacardium. They died when my company was wrested from my cold, dead hands to become the Cashew Universe. Ah. There is no Augustus Parsons Cashew Company, and soon there will be no Augustus Parsons. It's worth noting that, interestingly, the Augustus Parsons Cashew Company is one of my four anchors.
Correct.
So I'm less connected at this point to the world than I would have been beforehand. So I'm trying to reflect that because he's not all there because one of his anchors is gone. One of
Absolutely.
The anchors in our world.
Now, I have been studying my business as I have hoped to make proud the Parsons name. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, what that means is if they have switched, the title of the company, wouldn't that mean the Augustus Parsons Cashew Company name is free and available for use?
No, that's not how business works. They own the rights to that name.
They own your name?
Believe it or not. Yeah, wait a minute. Wally Amos. You ever heard of famous Amos cookies?
Of course, they're famous.
They took the company from Mr. Amos, and he started his own cookie company.
Oh, okay. So you're going to start your own cashew company?
Well, is there room in the market? That's the question.
Well, yes, everybody loves pizza blasted cashews.
You will not. Those are not cashews. That is a tiny, crunchy poison.
So I guess what the question is do you think that there's room in the market for, the perfect cashew lovingly chosen for the consumer versus, whatever pizza-blasted poison Garrett Altizer is putting out into the universe?
Are you talking about real, organically grown, unflavored cashews? The kind... The kind that old...
Is dad eating pistachios in the background of this cashew conversation?
How fucking could you, you
how
Judas!
How could you, Dad? You're eating pistachios while I'm trying to talk about cashews.
I got hungry listening to you describe the delicious cashews.
Yeah, Dad, they're a great nut. They're one of the top seven. Easy. Okay?
So precious, you don't even put them in the mix. No one puts pistachios. It's going to stand out.
Cashews? Almonds, hazelnuts.
Is this a power ranking or a loosely ordered top five?
Loosely ordered. Okay. Top, because you said top seven?
Top seven.
Yeah. I'm going to say cashews, almonds.
You haven't even said peanut yet.
Peanut's bad. Almonds bad.
Peanuts are not bad. You can't say peanuts are bad in a power ranking. Peanuts are in everything. They're cashews. The cranberry of nuts.
You're allergic to peanuts? You cannot.
But even then, you have to respect their reach.
Cashews.
The only coconuts. One that's like a given in so much cuisine.
Cashews.
Donuts.
Cashews.
Donuts.
This is stupid. Okay, no.
Okay.
No. Yes, Anacardium, you're right. I can't give up now. The market needs an interruption. Shade grown, ethically sourced, delicious cashews. And that will be the name of my new company, my new venture. Delicious cashews.
It's pretty good. It's right there in the name.
It lets you know what kind of cashews they are. That's
and
business.
That they're cashews.
And that they're cashews. It covers all the available information about the product contained therein.
Now all we need, you're going to need to find, of course, a location and a workforce, people looking for jobs, anything like that.
Well, Kerf?
I think
I know just the man for the job. An adult, you see, Kerf, an adult would want to run everything their way. But I can trust you to run delicious cashews.
I'm 32.
I can trust you, Kerf. I can trust you, my young...
Our father.
I can trust you, Kerf, to run delicious cashews in the way it's always been run. The Augustus Parsons way. Fine. Of course. Ethically sourced. Uh-huh. Organically grown.
I understand. Cashews. Yes.
And...
Uh-huh.
You know what else we'll be adding to our product line?
What?
Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Just cashews. No flavors. One size of bag.
That will make, choosing which kind of delicious cashews you want very easy.
Well, you have to limit your number of SKUs when you're beginning in business, you see. If that product does well, we'll expand the line, but you don't want to rush out too many products at once. That's
well, shall we meet tomorrow to discuss, the finer points of this plan?
Sounds perfect, Kerf. You take care of yourself and start working on a logo.
Now, Father, I expect at least 30%.
Anacardium, you can have 32. And Kerf, no. Kerf, 10% for you.
Oh, wait.
And I will have a paltry 58%.
Okay, we can figure it out tomorrow.
Well, this is the finer points.
Hey, a couple of quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now to choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Are elephants right-handed?
What's the middlest size in the universe?
What is the history of fan fiction?
Let's find out together on our show, Let's Learn Everything, where we learn anything and everything interesting.
My name's Caroline, and I studied biodiversity and conservation.
My name's Tom, and I studied computer science and cognitive... Blah, 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 blah.
Did you? And my name's Ella, and I studied stem cells and regenerative medicine.
On our show, we do as much research as you would for a class, but we don't get in trouble for making each other laugh.
And we get to say f***.
Maybe not in the trailer.
Subscribe to Let's Learn Everything every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Are you ready to binge watch something old?
The Greatest Generation is a podcast about Star Trek by a couple of hosts a little bit embarrassed to even have a Star Trek podcast. Hosted by me, Ben Harrison.
And me, Adam Pranica. We get into the critical, the technical, the science fictional aspects of the show we love, while roasting it and each other at the same time.
We've completed an entire series about Star Trek The Next Generation, and another one about Star Trek Deep Space Nine, and we've just begun Star Trek Voyager. So now is a great time to start watching a new Star Trek series with us.
So subscribe to The Greatest Generation on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and become a friend of DeSoto today.
Now, we see Indrid wake into a dream. In front of you, Indrid, you see a park bench and a tall, slender woman sits on the bench, and she is watching a like kind of garden of trees. It's not quite an orchard. There's about five or six, and they're not full grown. You know, you would guess they're about like 15, 16 feet high. And moving between it, you see in the wind these gigantic spider webs stretched between the trees, and they flow in the wind. And you hear her say, "Oh, Indrid, my love, please come join me."
Sure. I go and sit down. Oh,
so easygoing. I enjoy that.
Do I recognize her?
No. But there is definitely, like, I will say this, that same kind of nerve tingle you get when you, like, touch somebody or when you feel that feeling of, like, oh, something's about to happen, there's something going on. You feel it.
Okay.
And she says, "Now, I know I have been lack in our face-to-face meeting. As you might imagine, I'm very busy. But it did become very important for me to talk to you, my darling. You see, you, Indrid, and don't get me wrong, this is one of the things I love about you, but you are far too trusting."
Is that so?
Yes. Let me just check. There is a voice that appears in your ear that you have never met, that you have never seen, and you tell them everything.
Yes, normally I would not be quite as easygoing with strangers, especially in this strange new world I find myself in. I am at a slight disadvantage in that I can no longer instantly tell if people are going to try and royally bone me from 50 yards away.
What?
Perhaps if I possessed this, my beautiful second sight, this would not be an issue, but I'm just trying to figure this thing out as I go.
Then what do you call my gift, if not some form of second sight?
It's okay. It's all right.
Oh, playing hard to get, huh? Indrid, I will ask you to speak to me with respect, please.
Okay.
Now, Indrid, you need to be more careful. I would not have you harmed for the world. We are having so much fun and getting so much important work done.
What kind of work are you talking about?
Oh, the game. The visions, the future. We're building it together.
I'm sorry, I wasn't aware that I was collaborating on the future.
Oh, sorry. May have given you a little more credit than perhaps was applicable. So I will now, this isn't normally my way, but I do adore you, so I will just tell you. So you are my... I hate to use this word because it does seem reductive, but my tool? Yes?
That is news to me.
Well, so you already had this proclivity towards future, towards vision, towards knowing. And so I simply tapped into that, and I show you either the things that will happen, or I show you the things that you need to see to make the things I want to happen, happen.
Oh, that would have been nice to know.
Well, I figured it doesn't make a difference because you'll never know which one's which.
All right.
And they're practically the same thing. Don't get it confused, because either it is the future, or simply by you acting on it, it becomes the future.
I stand up from the park bench.
You weren't excused. And with that, her fingers elongate to a completely inhuman length, spindly, but very strong as they press you back down to the bench.
Sorry, I thought I was about to wake up.
When I'm ready.
Usually there's a hot air balloon, and I'm in it, and I'm late for school.
Yes, for some reason. I like that one.
And then there's a stiff wind, and I fall out of the basket, and I tumble down, 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 down. And right before I hit the ground, I awaken. And what's weird is while I'm falling, the whole time I'm just so stressed out about the school thing. So I thought that I don't like this.
Well, I don't want you to think that this is all bad. Just because we have work to do doesn't mean we can't have a pleasant working relationship and maybe someday more. But that, you know, I'll give it time, no pressure. But listen, I know that me asking you not to trust your so-called friend Micah is going to grate on you. You're so caring for your friends. So let me show you that I am a friend, and let me give you a gift. And she presses one of those spindly fingers to your forehead, and there is a searing pain behind your eyes. But as this happens, burned into that moment, you see a shape, a symbol, a sigil, a specific sigil. And she says, remember that one. I think that will help.
I can't do anything here then. Because, like, any sort of supernatural thing I could try to do, they are warded against because they have defenses against my sight.
Correct.
Thanks for that. A note would have also been fine.
I work in mysterious ways.
Okay, you have been nothing but extremely ominous this entire conversation, and then you're like, "Tee hee hee, use this sigil. You're gonna love it."
Well, you'll just need to recognize.
Okay. Okay. You want to tell me what it is, or is this?
That's not really what I do.
All right. May I be dismissed, please?
Ooh, very polite. I like that. Yes, you may. And if you need my help, ask me instead of this Micah.
And what should I call you?
I tell you, you can call me Weaver.
Sure. Okay, Weaver, I'll be in touch. Okay. Thanks for the help.
Sweet dreams.
Can I do something?
Yes.
I would like to awaken with a start. And go to Dallas Grayson's house, where Dallas Grayson lives.
Okay.
And just start pounding on the door.
Yeah, it's about 3 a.m. at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't care.
You hear his dog barking inside, and he comes down. Indrid?
You need to fix my shit, like, now.
Okay. And this had to happen at 3 a.m., this important update on the situation?
You're going to go back to bed. I have work to do. And if I'm going to do that work, I need you to take the bindings off, like, right now.
I tell you,
bad for a lot of people.
It's intricate. It's intricate, Indrid.
Indrid.
No, bindings are intricate, right? I can't just undo. Okay, I got something. It's not done. It ain't tested. It's like a disruptor, right? I'm trying to make it permanent. That's why I haven't told you about it yet. But it currently has like a single charge.
I'll take whatever you got.
Like I said, ain't tested.
Yeah.
Ain't tested. Theoretical. Do you want to test it?
Right now?
I mean.
Or is it one of those like in the heat of the moment situations?
You can field test it, yeah.
Okay. I'd rather do that because I don't want something to knock me out for the next 6 hours and then I miss
my head. And I want to go back to bed. So how about I give this to you and you promise not to pound on my door? It's a bracelet.
Okay. I'll take it.
Like I said, single charge, maybe 3 to 5 minutes, all right?
Okay, and then maybe figure out something a little bit more permanent.
I'm working on it. Clearly I'm working on it.
Okay, I'll take it.
Good night, and he slams the door in your face.
Travis, did you just make up a bracelet for pretend that didn't exist before?
but then when Griffin said he wanted to go there, you just made it up?
That's
Justin,
the job of a GM.
That was amazing. So you can just do that?
Yeah, man. I wove it together out of my mind stuff.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty badass.
So if you're the boss, you can just say whatever garbage you want. And everybody's like, oh, thanks for the garbage.
Oh, wait, look over there. Seth Meyers just showed up and he says, I think Travis would be a better late night host than me. Give it to him, everybody. Whoa! Wow. Seth Meyers, what?
The skill sets over.
And you made a one charge tiara that'll give you that job.
Yeah. All right, I guess I start trudging over toward the cargo yard since I'm probably not going back to sleep now.
So by the time the rest of your party wakes up, you're sealed inside this box. It's not comfortable. It's not uncomfortable. You know, they left a couple gaps in the boards and everything, on the side of a box. It's put bobbins, right? Just a little extra bobbins box swapped in there.
Can I say that I brought a pillow to sit on? This is important for me, Griffin McElroy.
Yeah, you know what?
To know that I'm sitting
on a
pillow.
For your own player comfort, yes.
Yeah.
You're sitting on a pillow.
I think I have a family-sized bag of Pizza Blasted cashews. And
well, you got to be careful, man. Those things stink to high heaven. You don't want them to think they got a bad box of bobbins.
Well, and the bag is really loud, too, but I'll figure out. I'll muffle it with the pillow and a crowbar, because nice try.
Hey, can I just say, imagining a grown adult person hiding the fact that they're eating a Pizza Blasted anything by muffling it under a pillow is one of the saddest images I've ever heard. Okay.
The snack silencer.
The other three of you wake. Now, you know, Lorelai would have gotten there early. She would have traveled with the livestock to load them up when it's time in the livestock cars. Callan, you need to check in with the guard. And as for you, Augustus and Lulu, what is your plan?
I have a plan to get on. It'll be easy for me to get on.
Right.
Right?
It materialized through the engine car, perhaps?
That's what I was thinking.
That seems pretty simple for you. And I have my... Well, you know, and I make the little devil horns with my fingers on top of me.
Do I know that?
Yeah, you know it from the handshake, from the dark bargain.
Yes, yes, yes. I assume this will be well within your skill set. I assume it will get... Now, I've not personally met this other side of yours. Are we in for a mess?
Could be. I can't always control it. I think that's the trade-off, right? Is that I get all this incredible power and I get to be my worst self. Ugh, how do you do it with business balance and your morals and your ethics and good business?
Well, I have found that when one lives their life by a certain set of standards with character, it doesn't matter what you are applying that character, those skills to, because every part of your life will be imbued with nobility, with rigor, and with, if you are so bold, compassion. I have not known you for long, Lulu, but I have seen this other side of yours. And I can tell you that I am not worried for my own safety around you in the slightest. Well, I am a ghost.
Ah. Yes, well.
Shall we?
Yes, let's. All right, I guess we'll start heading towards the train yard.
I'm going to stand in the fucking tracks.
Now, am I right in thinking, and you can choose to be one of them. Let me see.
Regular people can't sense or interact you unless you manifest. Supernatural creatures and perceptive mortals usually know you're present, but can't
affect you without magical tools or special powers, which in
yes,
this case
you
be
may
bad.
Mark a trauma. We can we'll because we're not using trauma, we can call it corruption. To instead choose one or all three.
Okay. Got it. Okay, yeah. I'm going to then in that case, I will mark that corruption so I can manifest inside the train car and be both silent and invisible.
Yes. So you cross to the track and then we see Augustus go invisible, but also the wind sweep the leaves and dirt through him. And no one else can see this, but I can see this because I am omniscient. I see you striding down the track at, let's say, a gentleman's pace, and you encounter the engine car. What do you do?
Is the train in motion or is it stopped?
Not yet.
Yeah, I'm just going to... how big's the engine car? Do I got room in there to, like, chill?
Yeah, I mean, you're incorporeal. People can walk through you and do their job.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I'm just going to float inside the engine car and just like chill. And just chill. Because what will happen in there? I don't know. But I went daddy
yeah, so you mm-hmm. enter the engine car and you take a spectral seat, just kind of like in the middle of the room on nothing.
I do that fucking sick ass Alec Guinness sitting on midair from Scrooge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And if anybody asks, tell them you're the ghost of Casey Jones.
If anybody asks, I'm fucked. Because they see
an excellent point.
Well, actually, to be fair, I'm a ghost. You're fucked.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't care. I'll flip my ass right off of there. Go make some cashews.
The engineer and I don't know, probably deputy engineer are moving around the engine, getting everything ready, stoking the fire, all of these things as they pass through you. Without any notice. Every so often you see one of them like, and like maybe tighten his shirt a little bit. Like, oh, is there a breeze? But they have no suspicion that you're there. Now we see Callan approach Wyatt Lincoln.
Wait. May I throw something in real quick?
Yeah. Does it have to do with the game or is this just like an observation?
Yes.
Okay.
With the game. Could Callan make a quick stop before he goes to see this guy?
Got to go to the bathroom?
No. Oh, okay, yeah.
I respect it.
You know that I love when player characters go to the bathroom, right? That sounds weird, doesn't it?
This is not going to the bathroom. This is okay, a little background. I base Callan on all of these, you know, anti-heroes from spaghetti westerns.
Sure.
And they always have some kind of sneaky device to help them in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
So this is what that is leading to. And I think you'll know where I'm going with it, Trav.
Yeah.
Pretty fast.
Okay. An atom bomb.
Before he goes to meet with Wyatt, he stops at the milliner shop. Chateau.
Haberdashery.
It's actually a milliner and approaches the counter and the person working at the milliner.
Yes.
He says, I need a gift for a lady friend.
Yes, of course. What kind of gift for a lady friend? A hat, I assume.
ribbons.
Ribbons.
Ribbons for her hair.
Ribbons for her hair. Now, this is a hat shop. We have ribbons, but they are mostly used as hat accessories.
Can you not just sell me
ribbons? Oh, I can sell you anything, young man.
Yeah, and I don't know what her favorite is, so if you just give me an assortment.
So how well do you know this woman if you don't know what her favorite ribbon is? That's a first date question if I ever heard one.
She's mercurial.
She's what? She's your curial?
Mercurial.
That's a lovely name. Well, you tell Mercurial to enjoy these ribbons. That will be three monies, please. No, I'm just joshing you. That'll be three marks.
So he puts three marks down on the counter, stuffs the ribbons in his pocket.
Okay. Now, if you ever need anything else, sir, you come and you visit Botus Gato. That's my name.
Oh, I'm glad I could set that up.
I'm glad you could, too. I was afraid we wouldn't get to me.
Sorry, what's that name again? I was eating.
Botus Gato.
Sorry, it's one more time. If you could just, you're welcome, Trav.
If you just type into Google Translate, Boots Cat in Spanish, it's Botus Gato.
Botus Gato.
I swear to God.
Chateau Chapeau.
Yes.
That did not cross my mind.
It's Botus Gato.
Botus Gato Chapeau Chateau.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think I'll be back.
That's funny. It's what every customer says.
That's what they all say. Some of it's true. Okay, bye. Tell your friends.
I'll let you get back to your lasagna.
Oh no, I hate
Stop
the stuff.
It.
What? That was Squawky, by the way.
Oh, I see.
I'll let you get back to your lasagna, Squawk.
Now, let's get back to it. You approach White and he says, hey, I was wondering if you're gonna show up. You're late. Where you been?
Picking up a little gift for a lady friend.
Okay, man, you have work to do. If you're lucky I don't fire you right now, but should I fire you right now?
Well, I guess you could try.
Oh, I'm sorry, was that a threat?
Won't that leave a little gap in your security plan?
I'm gonna have you...
Just, that's it, you're making...
Roll to persuade an NPC.
All right. And that's against what?
With heart.
Ooh.
Not Callum's strong suit, I would guess.
That's my other minus one. Oh, but it's okay. It's a 10.
10 minus one?
Minus one, a 9.
Okay, great. Okay, yeah, you ain't fired, but you know what? I got the perfect job for you. How you feel about cows, Callum?
Cows?
Yeah, I'm going to have you... I got very special guard duty for you. I'm going to put you... You're going to keep an eye on the livestock for me, okay? Make sure everything stays safe back there.
Yeah.
Okay, if you need me, I'm going to be in the guard car just behind payroll. Try to keep out of trouble. Make sure nobody comes at us from the back, okay?
I will make sure nobody bothers you.
Okay, Lily, what about you?
All right, I would like to... use to mark a corruption for fringe benefits to do an additional city move while this time has been passing. And I will be trying to put out the word. So through my copious connections and networks, getting word out to the town, to those who would be receptive to it, to just have eyes and ears and to be... there should things, as they say, pop off amongst the workers. So I suppose I gotta roll with.
Yeah, you're gonna roll with your status.
In which circle? Mortalis?
So it depends on who you're trying to pull, you know what I mean? Are this just your regular everyday human folk? Are you trying to pull connections with furs or fangs, or who are you trying to contact?
Anyone who will listen. Anyone who's sympathetic to the cause of freeing the town.
I'm going to say, let me take a look at your sheet real quick.
I've got one in wild, and none others, but if I'm with my corruption marked, I get plus one to the roll with circle status.
Okay. Well, so with your fringe benefits. Got it. So let's see. Let's say that since you are pulling against your connections, right, and most of your connections are made through your influence with your connection to your patron, let's call it a plus one from the wild and then that plus one from fringe benefits, so you could roll with a plus two.
11.
Okay, great. Sure. So are you wanting them there now? You want everybody nearby now?
I want, should things go south, that big scene where all of the everyday folk rise up against their oppressors.
Okay, cool.
To swelling reprise of the main theme.
Great. So I'm going to call this, we're going to pay this forward, right, to when Pearl went to contact everybody in Stitchton, right?
Perfect.
Basically,
yes.
That was very successful. Yes. So the people of Stitchton are like on board. They are ready. They're all finding excuses to be near their little train platform for this very reason, just in case like something goes off and you know that when that train pulls into town, y'all are gonna have some backup.
Yes.
Nice. Okay, so how do you get on board the train, Lulu?
All right, I'm going to surreptitiously make my way to and are all of these cars still warded?
Except still for the warded?
Warded. Except for the
they are warded, but you do currently have Callan is now basically at the back of the train by himself, so could possibly gain you access through the caboose if you can reach that. Oh, that's right. And then I would say if you want to utilize your connection to Eudora, there is right behind guard She's three guard that three. Kept oh. yeah kept empty car. Eudora could possibly let you slip in there if you can reach. To the car that's kept empty between guard three and the dining car. So I would say, like, through the two connections you have on the train right now, those are your best bets.
All right. I think that I'll probably head to the empty car just because it's closest.
You sidle up. We're going to put you at the connection between the car that's kept empty and the dining car.
Mm-hmm.
So Eudora is sitting there. She goes, I'm going to step in the other car and have a smoke real quick. I'll be right back. So she steps into that kept empty car. So she's there waiting for you when you can get to that opening.
All right.
Now, I will say it's going to benefit you. Either you need some way to get to that opening unseen, or if you can figure out some kind of distraction or something that's going to give you a moment. Is all you need to get over there.
In the train yard, I'm going to distract, for mislead, distract, or trick. I'm going to distract, cause a distraction, and that will take the form of a fire in the train yard.
Ooh, excellent.
There's the track changers.
The rail switcher,
that part just goes up in flames.
Oh boy, some terrifying shit, dude. Magic, man. What are you gonna
One
do?
One of those has to be the canonical name for that thing. You
it's
know,
the switcher, the rail
train
changer
guy. You know,
the doohickey,
the thing that's always in like the cartoons where it's like, we gotta the track, it ends. We gotta, you know,
yeah.
The thing. You that's get it.
So, all right. So, I'm going to roll with mind.
Please don't hurt fan favorite character Roust while you're at it, please.
Look, if I did, he'd just forget it.
I love Roust.
The fans don't get any favorites. They listen to it. It's all recorded already. Yeah. I don't care who they like.
Beautiful.
I like Roust. Roust is my favorite character so far.
All right. So, I squeaked through with a 7.
Okay, yeah. So, you get to pick 2.
I create an opportunity and avoid further entanglement.
Well, there you go. That's all you need.
Yeah.
So basically, yeah, you see just this switch, you know, just basically burst into flames. And you hear a couple guards and other workers saying like, oh, damn it. It's another, you gotta, rail riders need to learn to put their butts out in the tray. We put the trays out there. For this very reason, you can't. There's oil all over. God dang. Get the sand. And they're all rushing to put it out. And as they're going, you basically walk quickly, but with purpose. And you are able, through this distraction, to avoid any notice. And you get up to that empty car there. Give a little knock on the door. Eudora lets you slip in. Okay, you're on. I don't know how much more I can do, but if you see a chance for me to help, and I can't stress this enough, without me getting in trouble, just give me some kind of, do you want to do like a code word or something?
Yeah. A code word. What's good for you? Is it got to be something that doesn't come up in conversation much? Like, I don't know, banana, or could use the stoplight system of like red, you know?
I like banana, but Wyatt actually surprisingly says banana a lot. What about like coconut?
Coconut? That seems, well, I don't know. It feels like
that's one of my favorite kind of nuts.
That's true.
It's just out there, top seven, I would say. Maybe top five.
It sounds too close to cashew nuts, too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There's got to be some disambiguation somewhere. There.
How about succulent?
Succulent. I like it.
Oh, excellent.
It's got good mouthfeel.
Yeah, excellent. Okay. If you see it, you work it in. And I'll do what I can.
Guys, there are vampires on this train. I don't think I'd go with succulent.
Well, maybe it's like I'm looking around my mind room to see what's on my desk.
And succulent is there?
Yeah. I got a little stuffy succulent that sits here on my desk. I don't know what to tell you.
So cute.
How about mischief?
Mischief. All right. I think I cannot see how that one could possibly go wrong.
Ah, great. So she heads back. We see just kind of moving down the train, right? If this was a movie, we'd get this sweeping shot of a spectral Augustus sitting just in the middle of the engine compartment as everybody moves through him, getting it ready. We see Lulu hunkered down in the corner of an empty car, ready. We see Lorelei anxiously waiting in the passenger car, ready for everything to go off. We see Callan moving through the livestock car. You know, there's a cow bumping up against his head, and Callan's like rolling his eyes, but then maybe reluctantly like patting the cow on the head, like, yeah, just okay. And then finally, we end on Indrid, still stuck in his box, the box of bobbins, clearly labeled. We see maybe like one red lens up against like a hole in the wood. That box is unfortunately stacked under a couple boxes. He's probably going to need some help out of there, but everybody's on the train. And then in the shuffling madness of the locomotive's breath, it pulls out onto the tracks, out into the Crescent Territories desert, towards Stitchton, towards adventure, towards mischief.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.